Praise the Lord. First five verses. Joshua chapter 1, Bible reads, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" Would you say dead, please?
Dead.
Moses is not coming back. Moses is dead. "Now then," he told Joshua, "you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you." That sounds nice, doesn't it? Free real estate. God says, "I'm going to give you this land on the other side of the river. I will give you every place where you set your foot."
Yes.
How is that for being bold? Amen? "Every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Lord, we come before you this morning, a people in need of vision, a people in need of purpose for this coming year, Lord, a people in need of hearing from you, Lord. Some of us struggling through 2011, some of us striding through 2011, but all of us looking towards the new year, Lord, in expectation of great things. Lord, that you would meet us, guide us, direct us, and that we would find your victory and your success. Speak to us today, Lord. I would just bind every distraction in this place today. We would hear from you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to do something bold today. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Watch out, he's going to do something bold today." All right. I always hate that when people tell me to do that, but I do kind of like saying that. But anyway, we got a little bold spot coming up, so watch out. I don't know that I'll even announce it for you, but it is coming. Believe me on this. I wanted to start off talking about water skiing. How many of you guys water ski? You know, I went water skiing like one time. That was enough for me. One thing about water skiing, you got to grab on. Amen? If you don't grab on, you're not water skiing. You are just swimming with something on your feet. Today we're going to talk about grabbing on. Talking about grabbing on to God. We're going to talk about the Israelites grabbing on to God. Last 2 weeks we've been talking about entering the land. We've been talking about moving from slavery. How many of you know what it means to be in slavery? Amen? Slavery to sin, bondage to sin. We've been talking about moving out of slavery through the wilderness and into the promised land. We talk about moving into the promise of God, grabbing onto the promise of God, and we use this passage this picture from the Old Testament of God's people being liberated from Egypt, moving through the Sinai Peninsula and into the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. This is all much more than just a history lesson. We're talking about how we can make progress from slavery into the promise for 2012. My question for you this morning, as we start off, is how did you do in 2011? Give you a moment to consider that. Because some of you look back on 2011 and think, 2011, quite frankly, could have been the best year of my life. Hallelujah. You were grabbing on to God. God was directing you. And for those of you that God has guided you in 2011, he would say, hold on tight. There is more that is coming in 2012. Amen? Now, some of you look back on 2011, and he didn't do so well. And there's really two reasons for that. One, you came to the Lord, and you were really messed up. Can I get a witness on that? Some of us pretty tore up. I was pretty tore up when I came to the Lord. It took me a year just to learn how to live without drugs in my system. I've shared that with you before. And some of you guys come out of just families of dysfunction and just such messed up and horrible stuff. And you've been working very hard, very diligently, and you're getting ready for 2012 saying, I think I got my feet on the ground. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, some of us come from a long way, and we got a long way to go. That is okay. Some of us did not do so well in 2011 because we just had other stuff going on. Just wasn't that important. Yeah, plan of God, I promise of God, put it in front of me, I'll take it. But you want me to go out of my way to get it? You know, God's just not that important to me. Promise of God's just not that important to me. I got my own stuff going on. Not all that interested. As we look at the Israelites, the Jews, the children of Israel, as they were coming out of slavery, getting into the wilderness, some of them thought God's promise was too much of a hassle. Not all that interested. God dealt with them. Let them die in the wilderness. A whole generation. God left them behind. You watch out. You're not holding on tight. You're not grabbing on to God. God's plan will just leave you behind. And you know what? God's looking ahead for people that will grab onto him. My question for you is, who are you? Are you interested in grabbing onto God in 2012, or is God a hindrance to you, or is God some kind of Santa Claus that you just are looking and anticipating his promise poured out on you and just don't make you stand up or clap in church or even show up on time? I'll show up for a blessing, but that's about it. So what do you want to do with God? You want to go with God, or you want to go the way you've been going? Talk about today, grabbing onto God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, we're going to take a look, and we're going to take a look at mainly Joshua 1 and 2 this morning. Bible says, be strong, be courageous. Does that describe you? God is talking to Joshua. Moses, his boss, is dead. Says, you're in control now. You are in charge now. You be strong, you be courageous if you're going to move into the promise. And if you're going to move into the promise of God in 2012, you will have to be courageous.
Amen.
Thank you, Leroy. Be strong and courageous, because I'm going to lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Would you say careful, please?
Careful.
Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you might be successful wherever you go. Now, God gives us direction because his ways are different than ours. And left on your own, come on now. See, now, you guys have gone on your own. Were you going God's way? No. I learned in my life. I was going my way, and my way led to destruction. And that destruction led me to the point where I was going, God, help me out here. God is so good, he helped me out. God directed me. God saved me. Now, it starts off here. He's talking to Joshua, and he says, be strong and courageous. Now, what pops into your mind as you think about that? Probably strength. Leroy?
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Pastor Bob, strength. It says be strong and be courageous. Well, I got to do a little Hebrew work for you today, because we're talking about this Hebrew word. It speaks of grabbing on. holding on tight. Be strong. Latch on. Don't let go. Right? And when he says be courageous, it really means be focused. See, if you're going to grab onto God, you're going to have to be focused. Who said that? Thank you, Eva. I'm going to go back and preach there, back there in the back. I like that. Thank you very much. God is good. But if you're going to grab onto God for 2012, you will have to be focused on him. Also, look at that guy. Kind of looks like Ray. Ray with hair. There you go. Maybe Ray Young. That's what it could be. But, yes, I wish I was looking young like that guy with hair as well. But, you know, that guy's holding on tight. You see his muscles holding on. It's going to take effort. It's going to take effort if you're going to follow God. You're going to have to move if you're going to follow God. And that is the type of people that God is looking for. People that will put forth effort. Effort and focus. Focus on what? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong thing for right now. I'll come back to that thing. Focus on the word. Be careful. Be very careful. I can do this. There we go. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. So he says, you're going to follow me? You have to be strong. You're going to have to put forth effort. You're going to have to grab on, keep on grabbing on. You're going to be focused on my word. You're going to follow God in 2012. You're going to have to be focused and you have to put forth effort. Or you're not going to make it. And then he says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. And some of us think, you know, I got all kinds of freedom as I'm following the Lord. I got a whole lot of liberty as I follow the Lord. But here he says, don't turn to the right or turn to the left. Now, you're walking down that bridge and you turn to the right or you turn to the left, what happens to you? You fall off the edge. And see, the Lord says, you're going to grab onto me in 2012. I got a target for you to focus on. I got a word that will guide you, but let's not get lost along the way. It comes up to March, it comes up to May, it comes up to April. You might take a little left-hand turn. You take a left-hand turn and you are in the water. You are in the mud. You are off my path. How'd you do in 2011? Many left turns, many right turns. Spend much time cleaning mud off your shoes because you got off the path of God? Turn to the right, turn to the left. There is real danger. Amen. All right, point number two. If you don't turn to the right, if you don't turn to the left, God will lead you to success. Look, are you promising success? No, but God is. Check it out. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Did you do that in 2011, by the way?
No.
So that you might be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous. Would you say prosperous? Then you will be successful. Would you say successful?
Successful.
I didn't say it. God said it, and you said it. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And what I want to let you know is that God's ways always work, that God sends his message for a purpose. When you take a look and jump up to the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, that scripture they're talking about the law that Moses gave, consider that the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. But Paul writes to Timothy and says, beyond those first five books, all scripture. We take a look at the word of God. This is given to you so that you might have success. So that you might be prosperous. And he says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, how many of you like to be corrected? No. How many of you just want to, let me do this. Just want to go ahead and take that left turn. Notice there ain't no railing on that. Right? And maybe Pastor Dave or Lisa or somebody, don't turn left. Don't you correct me. Splash. Now guess what, man? If you splash over there, you got to walk back, get all muddy, get all cleaned up, and then you got to walk back across. Waste so much time. Word of God is there for what? So that we can be taught, rebuked. Well, that's another fine word. Amen. Amen. Corrected and trained. How many of you guys are okay with being trained? Don't correct me. Don't rebuke me. You can train me, though. Teach me. Train me. Don't correct me. Don't rebuke me. It's a package deal. Because when you're taught, corrected, trained, and rebuked, you will be thoroughly equipped to have a mediocre life. No! You will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, somebody says, I have a training program to thoroughly equip you for life. Oh, I'll take that. It's going to require work. Oh, I don't know. I think I'll just fail in life. See, if you're going to succeed in life, it's going to take what? Effort. It's going to take some focus. You're going to grab onto God. It's going to take effort, and it's going to take focus, and you will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We want to equip you for 2012. We got some stuff coming up. I got today, right after church, I got a preaching class. Myself and four guys learning how to preach. Why? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Coming up January 21st, which is a week or two. Next Saturday. We've got ladies going up to Santa Ana for a day-long children's Christian Ed Sunday School training class. Why? So they can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Guess what time they're leaving the church? 6 a.m. Like, oh, I don't want to be trained. I don't want to be thoroughly equipped. I don't want to go out of my way. Some of the ladies are going, wait, I signed up for that. 6 a.m.? It starts at 8 in Santa Ana. Goes till 4. Drive up there, drive back. Aren't we going to take a plane? Hey, you don't have to walk. We want you to be thoroughly equipped in 2012. And if you want to put in the effort, we will work with you. If you want to not turn to the right, if you want to not turn to the left, we'll work with you because we don't want you to get wet. We want you to stay on track with God. But so many times we think, oh, we can do better than God. Sometimes we think God's word's just guidelines. Just a book of suggestions. Take it or leave it. Some of us, it's like, oh, I don't like that one. Rip it right out. It's kind of like multiple choice life. Doesn't multiple choice life sound good? Well, oh, I get so much to. I had multiple choice life. It did not work out well for me. Some of you did not work out well either. So the Lord's saying, hey, I'll show you how to go. It's a narrow path. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Because at the end, it leads to success. Grabbing onto God is a challenge. You're going to grab onto God in 2012. It's going to take effort. It's going to take focus. And if you're going to grab onto God, it's going to take faith. God is looking for people of faith, focus, and effort. Amen. To make a change on this planet. Don't lie to me, Lisa. I got new cell phones for my wonderful wife and I, Lisa, if you don't know. Yeah, this is my wife. And I'll tell you what, it's MyTouch 3G. I know it's not 4G, it's 3G. You know, it kind of lagged the front end of technology, but that's okay. I got a deal. And leave my BlackBerry behind. My BlackBerry had like a little keypad. You know, it's like for a little, I don't know what, man, like a little chipmunk or something, man. I mean, how do you hit those buttons? My thumbs are as big as 5 buttons. So I'm thinking, hey, I want the touch screen. Yeah, touch screen. But I tell you what, it's totally different. Totally different. Having to learn this thing. Me and Pastor Dave were down at the T-Mobile store on Friday night for an hour. This girl's giving us like rudimentary, you know, this is touch the screen, it'll turn, you know. And we're learning how to use it. Putting in some effort. Learning. My wife has given up on her phone. She has just said, I hate the thing. She tries to keep it under her breath. I hate the thing. She's not trying to learn. She's not trying to do anything. Because she says, too hard, there is no payoff. Some of us treat the path of God that way. Some of us are trying to figure it out, work it out, put in the effort. See, and how does this work in my life? Go to the God store, spend hours with the people figuring out how the programming works, what changes happen. And some of us take a look at the manual. I just think there is just no way. I'm done. I can't do that. That's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They said, let's just go back to Egypt. At least we got to eat. Let's go back to slavery. And there are people that make that choice. I hope and pray it is not you in 2012. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Where are we at? Oh, we're at one. No, we're at two. My fingers have been hitting buttons there, yes. God's plan is for more than you. There is room in the plan of God for you. But it's more than just about you.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Larry. Joshua, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, how many of you came to church this morning going, I sure hope he talks about the Gadites today. I'm dying to know about the Reubenites. Well, you're going to tell you about them in just a minute. He says, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest. Everybody say rest.
Rest.
Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock can stay in the land that the Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he's done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After they're hooked up, you can go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. All right, for those of you coming today to know about the Gadites, here we go. All right, Israel, oh, here we go. Look at that. Everybody say, ooh. Yes, that, for those of you on tape or can't see, that is a laser pointer. That is Israel right there. That's the Mediterranean Sea all there. That is Spain, France, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Northern Africa, Egypt. Okay, so that is the whole basic kind of Europe, Mediterranean Sea kind of thing. And the Jews were coming out of slavery down here in Egypt. Oops. And figuring out my laser here. They went through the Saudi Arabia, and then they came up to the Promised Land right through here. As they were coming, they did battle with two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. I know, we had different names now. But they came and they defeated the, where am I butt pointing? Right here in Heshbon, they defeated Sihon, and then up here, they came and they defeated Og. Okay, and they won these battles, and we're going to talk about them in just a minute. But they just soundly defeated these two armies and these two kings. And as they're going, they're getting ready to head over all the way over. This is the Promised Land, okay? And the Reubenites, the sons of Reuben, and Gad, or Gadites, the sons of Gad, and Manasseh, the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, said, hey, this is some pretty good ground over here. Can we just have this and not worry about the ground we were going to get in Israel? Okay? And Moses says, okay. So this is the ground that was given to Reuben. That is the ground that was given to the Gadites. And that is the ground that was given to the tribe of Manasseh. This is the Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, the Jordan River, and these are called the Trans-Jordan tribes. Trans-Jordan meaning they were on the other side of the Jordan. Now, are you with me? That's all the geography we got for today. Okay, if you did not come caring about the Gadites, Mike says, hallelujah, I'll take that, amen, yes. All right, so Moses gave the land, but there was a stipulation. You can't stay over there while the other guys go to fight. Now that's key, because some of us would receive the promise of God. Some of us would see transformation happen in our lives and go, I'm hooked up. Time for me to get a little rest. And Jesus says, no, I got a bigger plan than that for you. I want you involved in my work for the other guy. I want you involved in my work for your children. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, I would say yes. I want you involved in my work for your friends. Amen? Amen. We said yes. I want you involved in my work for your neighbor. Him, my neighbor, I got to worry about him. Yes. Jesus said, what's the biggest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. See, the plan of God, the program of God is bigger than just you. You're going to grab onto God in 2012. It's going to take what? Faith, focus, and effort. And you'll have impact in the lives around you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's see. Point B. Joshua sends out spies. This, now we're jumping into chapter 2. Chapter 1, kind of a setup. We're getting ready to go into the land. Okay, Reuben, all you guys can have the land where you're at. You're going to go in and fight with us. Now we're getting ready to take the land. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. You've heard about the walls of Jericho. Preschool teachers are probably going to learn when they go to this conference next week that the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Hallelujah. So they went and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now Joshua knew about spies. 40 years previously, Joshua had been a spy. He and Caleb went into the promised land, saw all that was going on, came back and said, we can take these guys. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 13. There was 10 other spies. They came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land. We're going to get whooped on if we go there. We need to run away. Grabbing onto God's going to take effort, focus, and faith. And you'll be able to take care of the giants in the land. Amen? Amen. There's going to be challenges in 2012. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. Overcome them. God is bigger than them. Amen? Amen? You with God is bigger than them. Send out spies. They sent out spies. And they sent spies to the sea, and they come back with a great report, right? And can you imagine the delivery of the report? Everybody gather all the leaders of the tens, the hundreds, the thousands, all the leaders of the Jews. Come, we have a report from the spies. Spies have intelligence coming right from Jericho. Right? Where'd you guys stay? Oh, we stayed with the prostitute Rahab. What? What? We send you out to Jericho and the best you can do is to go stay with a prostitute? I mentioned my preaching class, right? I got Scott Gaudet, me, got Aaron, got Timothy, and Roki. Is Julie here? Julie's here. Now, just say that we're going to go have an outreach in TJ, and we're staying there for 3 days, right? And we come back to share the story, and they say, where did you guys stay? Say, we stayed with a prostitute. I don't know how Elsie, Lisa, Julie, and Lisa... What? There wasn't a church there? There wasn't an orphanage? The best you can do is staying with a prostitute. You would think they would have tried to cover that up. You would think that God would have covered that up. Not only does God not cover it up, he puts it right in the Bible. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Could be bold. Watch out. Okay. Three, God's plan works. Can I get a witness on that? All right. Before the spies lay down, okay, they go in there. She hides them. They're up in like the roof. And the king's king sends some messengers. Give us the guys who came in. We know they're here. No, they're not here. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen upon us. Now, would that be good news? Oh, yeah. He says, all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to those two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. Whooped on them. We kind of had respect for those guys. You came in and just did like what the Saints did to the Broncos. Not the Saints. Patriots did to the Broncos last night. Tore them up. You completely destroyed them. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above. Can I get a witness on that part? Thank you. And on the earth below. The land is ready to be taken, folks. They are ready to move in and conquer the promised land that was promised to them 400 years previously. Rahab says, we know that the Lord has given you this land. We know it because we've seen him do miracles through you in Sihon and Og. The defeat of these two kings. We've heard about how the Red Sea dried up for you guys. Now, that defeat of those two Amorite kings was recent history. I mean, we're talking within the last months that they would have came and defeated those two kings. And because of those defeats, their army, their military, their police, the kings, everybody's going, oh, they're coming to get us. And God's plan is working. Can you see that? Can you see that? But what she said, too, was we heard about the Red Sea getting dried up. That was not recent history, folks. That was 40 years earlier. And she said, we were melting in fear back then. We were ready to be taken back then. And the report that Joshua brought and the report that Caleb brought was an accurate report. We can take these guys. God's plan was set to go. It was set to go 40 years earlier. But the people weren't ready. God was waiting 40 years for a people that would grab onto him. God was waiting 40 years for a people who would respond in faith and focus and effort. Now, maybe God didn't get anything done in you in 2011. And it might have been because he was waiting on you. His plan, be ready to go. But you didn't have the faith, the focus, or you weren't ready to put in the effort to make it go. Amen?
Amen.
Rahab says, can I come? Rahab asks for mercy. She says, I know that God's with you. Can I come? Will you spare me and will you spare my family? I have protected you guys. The men said to her, this oath, she's talking to them. They're hiding underneath her roof. You're taking me with you, right, guys? Because those guys outside are looking for you. Oh, yeah, we'll take you, they said. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding unless when we enter the land, when we come to Jericho, that you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. So he's going to let them outside the window, go right down the wall. And unless you have brought your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your family into the house, our deal is off. We need to know, we need to have something that's going to signify who you are. And what we'll do is we'll tell all of our guys, you see the red cord? They had it right there. They see this cord. I was going to bring a cord today, but I don't want to distract you. I'm serious. If I don't see this cord, if we don't see this cord, we're going to kill you. And they took the land. Rahab protected them. That took effort. They gave her that cord. And I got to think, in the time between when they left and they prepared to cross the Jordan, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on crossing the Jordan, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on, and then they're marching around Jericho for 7 days. You know the story. I hope you do. If not, you can go to Sunday school class, and Julie will teach you about that. But you know what? I bet you she was taking real good care of that scarlet cord. Amen?
Amen.
She had focus. She had effort. She had focus. And she says, will you take us with you? I believe that your God, as he's protecting you, will protect us. Effort, focus, and faith. That's what God's looking for. Do you have that for 2012? He says, you're going to grab onto me, you're going to have to let go of something else. She was carrying around that cord. There might have been some other stuff that she was packing. She says, I don't need this, I don't need. God's maybe telling you right now, you need to get rid of some stuff in your life so that you can grab onto me. 2012. God's looking for people that'll grab on. Grab on with faith, focus, and effort. Are you willing? Some of you struggle with this. What can God do with me? I'm no good. I'm not good enough for God. I'm too far gone for God. Rahab was pretty far gone, folks. She had faith. She had focus. She put in effort. Why is she in the story? Let's talk about Rahab for a moment. She's a prostitute. And you can get some images in your mind. I don't want to lose you here, okay? I'm going to be bold for a second. Okay? Stick with me on this. I want to paint a picture for you. So we get images of prostitutes in our mind, and people write stories about them. God wrote a story about this one. New Testament, we have other stories. 1990, there was a story of a prostitute. It's a movie. I do not see this movie. I do not suggest that you go see this movie. But many of you probably have seen this image before. About a young woman, young pretty girl, and a young handsome man. Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, they were both very popular in 1990. And you can get images. They played with images of prostitution in this movie. I did not see it. I don't want you to go see it. You don't need to see it. And as you play with the image of a young prostitute, and there's all kinds of things, say, well, you know, there's some possibilities there. There's redemption that's there. But Rahab says, we heard about the Red Sea drying up for you guys. And that was 40 years earlier. Now, you can get all kinds of images and possibilities dancing in your head about a prostitute and opportunities that can happen. But an aged prostitute is an entirely different image. Because when you think of an aged prostitute, you think of a human discard. You think of somebody that there is no worth left. And some of us can identify with her and think that we are a human discard. And that's why she made the story. Because God is about redemption. And that if God can redeem an aging prostitute from Jericho, let's trust that she heard the story of the Red Sea when she was a girl. But that still puts a lot of years on her and a lot of miles on her. But she wasn't too far for God. Because she hung that sash out that window. And the Jews saw it and spared her and her family. And in fact, God did such a work with the Jews and with her that she met and married an Israelite man. And his name was Salmon. And they had a son, and his name was Boaz. Boaz married another human discard named Ruth, a Moabitess, that you can read about her in the book of Ruth, and how she hooks up with Boaz. And Boaz got a mom who was an aging prostitute. Saw what God could do. Marries Ruth. And they have a son. His name was Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. And the youngest son's name was David. And he was a man after God's own heart. And he became king of Israel. So, if you think you're too far gone for God today, for 2012, that you don't think that you can put forth the effort or put in the focus or have the faith, God worked through a prophet or through a prostitute named Rahab. Through her we have King David. And that line reaches all the way to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to grab onto God. It's going to take faith. It's going to take focus. It's going to take effort. He will guide you through 2012. Would you play something for us, Lisa? Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I pray for that person, Lord, who has come into this place, Lord, feeling like a human discard. Lord, I pray, Lord, your word, your spirit would come and would guide, Lord, the captive, Lord, to freedom. Lord, that you would give us all, Lord, that you would give us strength, Lord, and courage for the journey for 2012, Lord. That you would give us a heart, Lord, that we can reach out to eternity and grab onto you, Lord. Lord, that you would let us know, Lord, of the effort and the focus and the faith that it will require us to get through this year. And of the prosperity and the success that you would accomplish through us. Lord, I know that you are mighty, Lord, and I know that you do a work in us, Lord. that you don't discard us, Lord, that you have given us a pathway of victory, Lord. Not turning to the right and not turning to the left, Lord, but moving to fullness of life. And Lord, as we sit here this morning, Lord, putting a focus, Lord, on the opportunities that come as we would follow you, Lord, I pray, Lord, set the captive free. Restore sight to the blind, Lord. Let the lame leap with joy. And let the discard be redeemed, Lord. You are here this morning, and as I have mentioned 2011 over and over and over again, you have not been pleased with your look back. And this morning, the Lord would speak to your heart and say, 2012 can be different. Will you work for it? Will you trust me for it? Will you grab on tight? Because I'll take you through. Nobody's looking around this morning, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you would say, I don't want to be like that anymore. I'm going to grab on to Jesus. And I'm going to grab on tight. And I'm going to focus. I'm going to work. I'm going to have faith. Better things are coming. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart right now. You grab onto him. I would just have you raise your hand up nice and high. Just say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Reach down your hand from heaven, Lord. Put your hand in mine, Lord. I'm ready. Effort, faith, focus. I'll commit to that for this year. Several people responding. Just keep your hand up. Just like you're reaching up, you're in the water, Lord will just pull you out. That's you this morning. Lord, is right now, you don't have your hand up, but the Lord is saying, why not my child? What do you got going on? Last shot. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm reaching up. I need you to grab onto my hand and guide me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, girl. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to sing a couple songs. You want to pray, come up, I'll pray with you. If you want to just sing, come on up here and you sing where you're at. We're going to close our time just with a focus on God. You don't have to get your books or nothing. You can just stand up right where you're at, and Lisa will lead us in a song or two. Hallelujah.